Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're here to answer your questions. Our illustrious panel, the dynamic duo of Tom and Melissa Gould are here, and Fran Ginsberg. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and tonight we're entitling the show Even More Questions from Our Listeners, because questions keep coming in, and we'll do our best to wade our way through them. Of course, if we had the answers, we wouldn't be sitting here doing this show. But we make good, educated guesses.
I think we give out good information. I mean, yeah. we may not know the answers, but we know what's behind the possibility of answers.
That's true.
And I like to know what our listeners are thinking about and questioning.
Right.
Because it might be even things we hadn't even thought about.
Definitely. We learn from our listeners as much as they learn from us. Fran, you're bringing us up to date.
I will definitely bring you up to date, and there's a bit going on here. So, reminder always to our listeners, check the events page on foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Things change regularly, and there might be something that you are interested in and you wouldn't want to miss out. So, for example, coming up free for the month of July, we have on July 14th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 11 to noon Pacific Time, our Visionary Explorers group that meets online. And our next webinar on July 25th is free to members and free to mental health professionals. It will be presented by Beth Christofferson, and it is Assessing and Addressing Afterlife Beliefs and Spiritual Experiences, an Introduction for Mental Health Professionals. Now, there's a lot of information there, and so the information will also apply to people who are on the journey of finding out everything they would like to know about afterlife and spiritual experiences. All of the details and registration procedures are on the event page on our website. Please read the instructions so that you do have the link when the webinar starts and not after the webinar starts. There are only two spots left at our annual summer group retreat in Chester, Connecticut for August 17th through 19th. There is also an opening for a female who would like to share a triple room. It is a complete weekend working with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums and experienced facilitators. It is deliberately kept small and designed to transform your grief. The accommodations are private. There are no sharing of toilets and sleeping in dormitory bunk beds. And the food has been described as locally grown fabulous. Details and registration links, as I said, are on our website, but you might want to hurry. Registration has begun for our spectacular weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, this coming November 9th through 11th. Mediums Behind the Scenes, our Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention. Imagine spending a weekend with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums along with noted experts on the afterlife. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, all designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn about what happens after death. We also have a lot of fun things planned for the weekend, and unlike those add-on conventions, our unusual simple one low price includes both Friday and Saturday night banquets, complete with entertainment and spirit communication, in addition to the weekend event itself. And following November comes December, particularly December 23rd, when we will draw five winners who will each win a reading with the Forever Family Foundation Certified Medium in our annual Holidays Past raffle. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. Back to you, Bob.
And we're taking listener questions. And by the way, a lot of people write in, which you can do at any time by sending an email to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. But feel free to call live during the show. We'd love to hear from you. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And, you know, these questions that come from our listeners are kind of all over the place. Some are spiritual in nature, some are scientific in nature, and some we may have addressed before, and we apologize for that, but we find that a lot of people have similar questions when, you know, when they write in. And that's why they seek the answers that so many do. Now, the first question is, while in physical form, we and other living beings eat food to provide the energy that we need. In the afterlife, where everything is energy, where do our loved ones get their energy sustained from? What provides the ongoing energy for them? And that's a legitimate question.
I like that one. And my answer, which is, well, about 60% a guess, is the energy's love. You feed on love on the other side, and that's why it's so powerful and so meaningful.
Wow, and so perhaps an energy, spirit of energy, who may not be loving or experiencing love and loving thoughts from others or within itself might peter out?
Well, petering out's an interesting term in a sense, because energy cannot be created or destroyed.
Yeah.
So maybe perhaps it does dissipate. What we've learned from readings and books is that there are different levels on the other side that you're continually learning. When you're here, you're learning when you're there, and there are ways to advance even on the other side. And I think that if you are loved and have the love and the self-love and all of that, that you have a better chance of advancing. I would think, again, this, I'm really into the realm of speculation. I'm no evidence on this.
Well, I think that's why it's also important for us, you know, when we talk about looking for signs, because if we see something that resonates with us and it causes us to pause and think about our loved ones in a loving way, or even without a sign, just thinking of them in a loving way, they were loved here on earth. There, the love goes on, and the love helps them on the other side to elevate to even a higher.
I believe in that, yes.
I think that, you know, the question also is, you know, thinking in physical terms, well, yes, we need food to give us energy, to fuel the machine that's our body. But in a broader sense, the whole universe is energy. We call it different things. We may call it soul. The ancients, you know, called it chi or prana or ki or life force. So physicists will call it life force. So the energy permeates all realms, including the physical realm. And as Tom says, that energy is never dissipates, is never destroyed. So it's a continuum. So when you think of those terms, yeah, you don't have a physical body to fuel, but in these other realms, you are thought entities or pure energy balls, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. So having something, needing something to fuel it is just like a physical concept, right? But as Tom mentioned, it could be that strong emotions such as love enhance our energy, so to speak, and maybe our abilities to keep.
Yeah. So let's take that a step further. I mean, you've seen evidence, and there has been some scientific research on people who have gone without food energy for days or weeks and still survived. There's also a lot of anecdotal information now on people who can, particularly people who meditate a lot, can go without the physical, cellular energy, food, water, whatever you need to keep your cells alive that we've learned is necessary. They do without that stuff because they are able to create this mind over matter situation where the body doesn't need it, and the body can still survive without the scientific elements and food that we've been taught since second grade that we need to survive. You know, I think it's really funny when they have all these reports that, oh, on Mars we found evidence that life can exist on Mars. What evidence? You don't even know what can or can't exist on Mars. You're just applying the earthly attributes to Mars. And maybe every single planet, every single universe has its own attributes. Just the same way the mind can overcome what we believe and what we've learned the body needs in the physical world. So going on with what Tom said about love, that is what you need. And very possibly that is the answer, love. And that love is the energy that can sustain us in the absence of food and water and shelter and all these other things.
It's the only nourishment needed.
Well, we're going to go to our first break, get that out of the way, so stay with us. And we'll be taking lots of questions. When we come back, we'll be back in about 2-3 minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti. and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008, and we're taking your questions. Here's one that came in. I don't know if I can get the radio program. I live in San Antonio, Texas, and that's a long way from where the broadcast is. Well, the first thing is, the beauty of internet radio is that it doesn't matter where in the world you are, if you have a computer and an internet connection, yes, you can get the show.
Or even a phone.
Yes, but she said her husband passed over recently, actually in February of 2018. She says, I'm trying very hard to learn to contact him myself, but so far I'm having no luck. I think I'm getting some signs from him, not dreams, which I would like to get. However, I feel he is beside me at night, holding my hand, but my mind keeps telling me that it's my imagination. Do you think it's possible for me to learn to be a medium? I've had things before that made me wonder if I could pick up the paranormal. I have had dreams that came true, right down to the exact words, etc. So there's a few things here that we should address. You know, she thinks that she's getting signs from him. She feels them beside her, you know, at night, but her mind keeps telling her that it's her imagination. So we all can relate to that, right? I mean, people... especially when this is all, you know, new, you constantly dismiss, and we've all done that to a certain extent, you dismiss these things as they occur because it doesn't fit in with what you're taught or what you've learned. And then, you know, when she said, do you think it's possible for me to learn to be a medium? Well, you don't have to be a medium. You just have to learn to trust your instincts, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what our mediums who try to help people become more intuitive and sensitive. That's what they would say, trust.
And the short answer is yes. The mediums will tell you that it's something that we're all born with, and it's a matter of reawakening it. It's not easy. It takes a lot of discipline and a lot of work. It can be done, but as Melissa says, you're not looking to hang out a shingle and do readings for people, but you just want communication. That also takes some practice and work to develop an open mind, to basically get out of your own way, shut off that voice that's telling you that it's just your imagination, and trust your instinct, trust your subconscious that you are connecting, and it's just a matter of recognizing it.
Right.
Yeah, I think from the perspective of Forever Family Foundation, this is the one thing that we want everybody to understand, is that we are all hardwired to do this, and there's no need to be missing your loved one. If you're going to put in that much effort, you can teach yourself, as Tom says, to get out of your way, trust that spirit will come through as they need to, and give you the information and the comfort that you want in maintaining that relationship with the deceased loved one. And this is why we have the grief retreats, to teach just that, to take a whole weekend where our small group of attendees are working with our certified mediums that will give the attendees the tools they need to do just that. So that's what we're about. So it's really a perfect question for us, because that's what Forever Family Foundation is all about. You do not need to end your relationship just because somebody has crossed over. That relationship continues. It's just different, and you can learn to communicate on that level.
Yeah, I mean, and she says in her closing, I've had dreams that came true, right down to the exact words, et cetera. So you are picking up information. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to be a medium, and it means that you are connecting. So you have that innate ability. You haven't had a visitation dream yet, but you will.
I just want to add that, that the dreams that have come true are not visitation dreams. Those are obviously dreams, premonitions. And so that's a different kind of a connection than a connection where you're actually communicating with a different person. However, that is step number one,
right,
to learning how to communicate with a deceased.
And if I can give you some practical advice of where you can start, meditation is the key. So find and there are a lot of different ways to meditate. You know, it doesn't have to be in a dark room with your legs crossed with flowers and incense. There are many different ways of meditating, and the goal of meditation is what I said earlier, is to shut off your conscious mind and connect with your subconscious. And if you do that on a regular basis, that is your best way to head down the path towards what you seek.
I think that's what we've heard from others, that if you make it a regular practice, you're showing spirit that you're really serious about hearing from them. And it does take time. And, you know, people talked about months, years, and then it's like, wow, I'm getting stuff, you know, that's quite clear. So try it and stick with it.
And also, I think you mentioned in your question that you believe you've gotten signs. You haven't gotten the big one where they're sitting there talking to you and conversing. But that's an important thing, too, is if you see a sign and that you think it's a sign, thank them. Say, yes, that's a sign from you. Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that. Please send me more. And when your loved ones know that they're getting through, they will continue.
And it's only been, did she say,
February.
So she's doing great in her.
Well, she is doing great. And actually, I realized I didn't even read the second part of her statement, or not really a question. She says, after the death of loved ones, I have experienced vivid dreams of them coming to me in love, sounds that cannot be explained. In one case, the voice of the deceased. In others, the sound of knocking and metallic tapping and touch when no one is nearby. So she's doing pretty good
yes.
in terms of communicating.
Well,
getting
her way.
Yeah. Eugene.
And we are very sorry for you. You know, our condolences. It's a very tough thing to go through.
Yeah, it has been only a few short months. Eugene has an interesting question, probably that a lot of people can relate to. He says, I find it intriguing that secular folk often say that they know there is no God or afterlife. Now, to know is to be able to prove, and one cannot easily prove a negative, yet they will not have it that theirs is a belief and not a known fact. What is it that causes ordinary people to feel that they know with utter certainty in their minds that there is no afterlife and no God?
I've always wondered that, too. How are they so certain?
Well, that's a classic sign of a closed mind. They're not looking. They've got blinders on. And, you know, interestingly enough, some people don't want it to be true. And some of the biggest arguments I've gotten into have been around the fact that the person just does not want to think that that's true. Because I guess they know that if it's true, that somebody's seeing them doing what they're trying to get away with doing.
And yes, you have to be accountable for your actions, and because life goes on, and they don't perhaps want to.
But we see this, you know, this closed-mindedness in all phases. It's the same Even to people that do spiritual work could be guilty of it. I mean, you can make the argument in some cases people and with a lot of people that we work with are guilty of the same thing because we refuse to acknowledge the possibility that is no, you know, afterlife. But on the other hand, I would say that we do it at least based upon knowledge and facts and science, you know.
And
personal experience.
We've seen evidence.
You know? But we see it in the science community. I mean, we talk about scientism, where scientism are closed-mindedness to the possibility that the mind can be separate from, act independently of the brain, and they refuse to acknowledge it, even in the face of compelling data. And so we just live in a world where people are firmly rooted.
You also have the religious point of view, where they will tell you, yes, there's an afterlife. No, you cannot talk to them. You're not allowed to talk to them,
yeah.
Right? They've got all these rules that go along with it, but can they prove that there is the afterlife that they're talking about? They can't prove it any more than we can, but they're just going on religious word. And if that religious word should change, then their mind will automatically change because that's what they've been commanded to believe and understand.
Yeah. You know, I apologize in the last statement I attributed before Eugene's question to the call of the listener before, but it was actually part of another question from another listener where she said that she's experienced vivid dreams that came to her in love and sounds that can't be explained and the voice of the deceased and other things. And she says, in all these cases, the phenomena usually eventually disappear in 1 or 2 years, and she wants to know if there were any theories as to why that happens. You know, why do the vivid dreams and these communications and these signs disappear? Now,
meaning yeah. From the time that a particular individual passed 2 years later, she doesn't get anything from that individual, but then new people pass and she gets. That phenomena.
But I think either way, Melissa, that we see this over and over again. The person is getting what they need, not what they want. If you want to change the way that works, you have to put effort into it, like Tom was saying. If they're sending you a sign and you want to continue that conversation, you have to be a part of that conversation. You have to say, thank you for that sign. I'm looking forward to the next one. And then when you get the next one, you continue the conversation. Imagine yourself in a room with somebody. You're having a conversation. They're telling you something. You're not even answering them.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation stops. It's the same thing. So if you continue the conversation will continue. We see these signs, quote-unquote, dissipate because the people are passive about this stuff. I didn't get any more dreams. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing to facilitate the dreams? And again, I'm going back to this is the stuff that we teach regularly in the grief retreats. Look. People leave the grief retreats, they're on a high. Do they continue with the tools that we give them? That's totally up to them. But, you know, there is a method where you can continue to develop this so that it is part of your life. And it may be cumbersome, and it may seem to you a little ridiculous because you're talking to somebody who you cannot physically see, you know, but it can be done.
But there are variables. I mean, we're just assuming by, you know, our continued efforts that we're going to make these communications continue. But we have to be open to the fact that the person in spirit no longer feels the need to communicate with us, no matter what we're doing. You know, so maybe they're on to other realms, or maybe they think we're in a good place, or maybe they don't feel the need to...
I agree with you, but that can be part of the conversation as well. I mean, when you first have a loss, you really, really want to establish that communication. And maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the line, you're okay. And you're not doing it with any regularity. And so spirit understands that. And of course, they have other things to do the same way we find other things to do. So it's just a natural transition. But we have heard of people who have continued the conversation, quote-unquote conversation, for years. You know, that's because that's what they want to do.
Right. And well, I think of, you know, I mean, I had a dream visit this morning, you know, early this morning. And it's, you know, so it is from my daughter. It's been 16 years, right? Now, I wasn't overtly looking to foster it or have a conversation, but this is just something of regular communication that's just, that's continued. Yeah, it's less now than it was, you know, 15 years ago. But now, so you could make the argument, well, she may feel that I still need that communication. That's why she still remains, you know, she still does it. Or maybe I'm not consciously trying to foster it, but subconsciously I am, you know, because I still have that yearning, you know. So, I mean, it's hard to put this into physical terms, but it's an example that it doesn't necessarily dissipate after 1 or 2 years.
Right. We've done surveys where people have said, you know, 15, 20, 25, 40 years down the line, somebody will pop in with a message. And we don't know what motivated that message, but they do on occasion let us know that they're still around because they sense that it's important for you.
Right. And I love it when you share the stories because it's like, wow, how cool is that? You're still getting those dreams. So I wouldn't be able to say that to you if you didn't share with me what happened. And now I'm sitting here thinking, how cool is that?
Well, you know, personal experience, we all agree because we've all had our personal experiences and that kind of trumps all the other stuff, you know. The science is great, you know, but the personal experience is better than it all, and nobody can convince you otherwise, you know.
And the other end of the spectrum, however, is, yeah, we've all of us here have had a reading with a medium, and which was so on point that you just get euphoric afterwards, and then the next day when you're in the light of day, it sort of dissipates. So what do you want to do? You want to go right back to that medium, and that is just like an addiction. That is dangerous. You do not want to get hooked into relying and going back and going back and going back. And our loved ones in spirit, as you say, they know what you need, and they'll give you what you need to move you along, but you've got to move along. They don't want you to stagnate in you know, be in mourning for the rest of your life. They want you to get on with your life, and so it's a fine balance between getting some signs to keep you going and getting you looking for them every day rather than looking to do other things.
What about that great reading that one might get that gives them that euphoric feeling, and it's you've recorded it? So then you can listen to it.
You can listen back to it.
And it gives you that same feeling of, wow, how cool is this?
In fact, that's some of the best ones where you do or get a reading. And a lot of times, and here's another piece of advice, if you ever do go to a medium, make sure that you record it. And if a medium doesn't allow you to record it, I'd say go to another medium. All the best mediums encourage you to record it because you sit there. First of all, you're expecting to hear from your father, and your uncle comes in. Well, I wasn't, you know, who's, and then, you know, it takes you about 5 minutes in the reading to realize, oh, wait a minute, that's another guy altogether. And you miss a lot. So when you record it and you go back a month later or something and listen, and you go, oh, that's what they were trying to say. So it's you do get a lot more on repeated listenings of readings. So, yeah, that's a great way to do it.
I think there's another piece to your puzzle, Tom, is that when you started to say about this addiction that can easily crop up when you get a significant reading and then you want more and you want more and you want more, that's really working against what we understand spirit really wants. Spirit doesn't want a middleman, a medium. Spirit wants to be able to communicate with you. And so what they're doing is they're tuning themselves in to match their quote-unquote vibration with the various mediums that you're going to, when they could be spending all of that energy tuning themselves into your vibration and learning to communicate with your vibration and you. So there's a lot of missed opportunities for people who go to mediums too often or too regularly rather than trying to learn how to communicate directly themselves.
That's a good
point. We have to go to our second break. We have a couple of kind of deep questions on soul advancement, so you're going to have to put on your best thinking caps when we come back. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, where we're taking listener questions. Chris writes, Okay, now follow this. If a soul has attained a certain level of advancement, following which it reincarnates on Earth and lives a very negative, selfish, and fear-based life, can the very negative lifetime on Earth cause the soul to regress to a level of advancement that is lower than the level it had attained?
Oh, my.
Just prior to beginning the negative incarnation on Earth. Alternatively, if that soul made absolutely no progress during the negative earthly lifetime, would it return upon passing to the same level from which it came? Meaning that even though the soul didn't progress at all during the negative earthly lifetime, it also didn't lose any of the progress it had made prior to that lifetime.
I feel like Chris knows somebody that there's, he or she is suspecting is it has not making very much progress.
Well,
it's personal.
I mean, it's an interesting supposition. However, it goes against what I believe, because if you have advanced to another level and you come back to Earth, you're going to carry that in your soul, and you won't live a negative life. So if somebody is in your life and negative and saying that they're an advanced soul, they might be president.
Oh,
I'm sorry. But I didn't want to go there. But, you know, you just, it goes against the grain. And if you live, but to answer the question, if we buy into the hypothesis, if you come to Earth and you live a negative life, yeah, you're going to cut into your life.
I look at it differently. I think there's two aspects to your incarnation when you choose to come back. When you're choosing to come back, it's for a purpose. There's something that your soul needs in order for you to progress. It's not, your soul doesn't need for you to be a crazy murderer. That's not a need. A need is for you to learn to rise above that. So if you've already come from a deep, dark place, you don't go back to the deep, dark place. You're coming back to learn yet a higher level lesson. So you're coming back where you left off with a different kind of, now, surely somebody who's extremely evolved can choose to come back as a tortured child. That's a very deep, dark place, but it's coming from a place of a very highly developed soul that understands that if you give love, you will get love. And so it will teach the people around it, the soul will teach the people that it comes in contact with on that evolution, or the love that it brought with them in their advanced soul journey.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, what you're describing, Fran, is that sometimes you need to regress to advance. I mean, the regression is part of the
advance. But the aggression is the experience, not what you're doing to other people that's negative.
Right, right.
It's what you're experiencing upon yourself.
The second part of Chris's question, though, is something that I thought about also. If you do reincarnate for a specific purpose or some so-called lesson that you need to learn, and you're not aware of what that lesson is, and therefore waste this physical life without learning it, does it do anything from the soul, from your greater whole soul? You know, does it add anything to it, or did you just, was it just wasted time? You know,
won't they be told? This is where we get the evidence from near-death experiencers. So the person meets with some sort of an accident or illness or something that causes him to cross over. But then he's told, no, it's not your time. You didn't fulfill, go back. And we hear this a lot.
Yeah.
So the person now has not yet fulfilled and is sent back to the same life. You also hear situations where they're given the option. Well, you can stay here or you can go back. So I still think that the lesson is still the lesson is still the lesson that your soul needs to progress. You're going to have that opportunity to do it. And you don't need to, this whole concept of not knowing the purpose for which you incarnated is something we've evolved out of. If we go back to pre-organized religion and all these ancient ways of communicating with the other side, when we did incarnate, we did have guides that we communicated with that kept us on task, right, so that we did complete what we came here for.
Andrea writes, unfortunately, her son Anthony passed away on March 5th. Since about 1 month after his death, I've been experiencing hazy, dense, sparkly air around me, sparks of light, silhouettes of picture frames, sports pennants, and light fixtures flashing on walls and ceilings. In addition, at night, I see reflections of the frame of trees, my house and other homes flashing in the sky, as well as colors in the sky, visual snow, shadows, etc. I can go on and on. This happens every day, regardless of whether I'm home or away or somewhere else. No one else sees these things but me. I know what I'm seeing, and it's real. I feel the heaviness of the air. I feel tingles on my skin. Am I becoming clairvoyant? Is my son earthbound? Is this him with the help of others? There's a couple of questions there. I mean, just personal experiences we can't really argue with or discuss. I mean, she's having them, and they occur. As far as is she becoming clairvoyant, we kind of touched upon that before. It's just recognizing, you know, some of her inherent natural abilities. Is my son earthbound? That's kind of a term that may be misconstrued.
That's a TV spooky term.
Your son is trying to remain part of your life and making contact with you.
Yes.
That's not the same as being earthbound.
Yeah.
He's in the spirit
realm. And I personally think that he's assisting with these visuals, mm-hmm, that she's having,
yeah,
so that she can experience what it's like to come on and meet me halfway.
Yes, yes.
You know, this is where I am. You can let go of the physical world that you used to understand and understand that there are other things around.
Right.
And I'm going to show you things you can see that other people can't.
And as to, you know, is this him with the help of others? Very likely, you know, maybe, you know, it could be all him and it could be, I mean, I believe that we all need help on the other side. So he could have helpers, whether they be relatives that predeceased him or other interested, you know, helpers, you know, facilitating these things. Here's another question. From reading, I gather that some souls get stuck in a dark reality, basically of their own making. That alternative reality is based on the bad moral choices and consequences they perpetrated during life. Also, that they will be free of this alternative reality when they feel remorse for their actions and ask for help from higher spiritual beings, and that they also must face their victims and make amends. The question is, how do the spirits stuck in this alternative reality determine that it's not real and ask for help? So, you know, she goes on, is it obvious that this is self-imposed reality is punishment? Is it clear to the soul that they need to, what they need to do in order to leave and rejoin other souls, or do they fool themselves into thinking that they're alive and get stuck? There must be some prodding done somehow to urge them to grow beyond their illusion. So along the same veins we were talking before, but on a different twist, you know, how do the people know that they, that I found intriguing, how do the people know in the other realm that they need to ask for help? You know, how do they know to move to the light, so to speak?
Well, they're greeted on the other side. That's part guided. You know, the book Testimony of Light talks about that, mm-hmm, the people that are in a dark place and need help, and there are guides who greet you.
Right, but let's first talk about how they get into the dark places, because they led a dark physical life.
Right.
That's why they are less enlightened when they cross over.
Definitely.
and they get assistance from higher souls in helping them to learn, both on the others. They don't need to be here to learn how to come into the light. They get assistance there. But I'm getting this feeling like there's this other assumption that this person is writing about, that somehow everybody or everybody has some darker side that's going to come, but that's not necessarily true. You've come here for a purpose.
And some of what the way the question is worded makes me think of some of the things I've learned from Lloyd Auerbach. When you say, do they not even know they're dead? What jumps to mind is the house that has a person who walks every night, walks the balcony, and just back and forth, they're walking the balcony, and somebody seeing that is, oh my gosh, the soul is stuck. They don't know how to get away. Well, Lloyd Auerbach has done a lot of research in this and would describe this as, it's not the soul isn't there. It's just the energy imprint still there.
Yeah.
But the soul has moved on, unless the communicator in some way recognized the person. But the spirit that you see that just walks every night is not an actual soul that's trapped. So from that point of view, that's not an indication that there is somebody who is earthbound, as the last question would say. But then there are the people, as we said before, when you go to the other side, nobody goes over alone.
Right.
When you pass, there is always somebody to greet you. It's usually a loved one that is predeceased, a family member, a grandfather, anything. And that's the most comforting to you, and that's where the love comes in. We're going to a place where you can't even believe the love. If you think you know love here, from what we've heard from near-death experiences, you have no clue what love is like until you've seen the other side and the light, as you would. So it's love and nurturing is what's going on the other side. Even for the most despicable of human beings, they're going to get the love and nurturing because we are all connected. We're all part of the one big energy of the universe. And just like you might have a toe that has gangrene, you don't want to chop the toe off and throw it away. You want the toe to get better. So what do? You try to make that toe better, even though it's in a horrible state. And that's what we are as physical beings. Some of us are gangrened, and we need healthy methods to make us better.
I also sense from the way that's questioned is a concept of the life review. So if the person did do some horrible, nasty things, negative things while they were here in the physical, the judgment is a self-judgment. Mm-hmm. That yes, they do have to experience that on their way crossing over. But like you said, Tom, once they go through that self-evaluation, that life review, and they get to the other side, they are greeted and they get to experience that love.
Yeah, I think we're just about out of time. I just wanted to squeeze in. I know Dan wanted to know if there were ways to induce nighttime communication with those on the other side. And we've talked about this, before, but the main thing is just thinking about them, being open to it, maybe some meditation, light.
Getting your attention.
Getting your attention.
Manifesting.
And don't try to force it. Just let it happen.
Yes, let it happen.
And take a journal. Start to write down your dreams, and you'll find that you're getting more than you thought.
Right. More will come. Okay. And we ask our listeners now to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Robin Murray, Ashley Jackson, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, and Fred Folger. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.